Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Tennessee has a new athletic director, Danny White, and it is an accomplished athletic director at UCF, at Buffalo. Three good coaches at Buffalo when you include basketball. Two good football coaches at UCF. Johnny Dawkins, he's okay. At UCF as well, a basketball coach. Facility upgrades. Certainly left both places better than he found it at both Buffalo, where he hired Bobby Hurley, who has taken Arizona State to two straight NCAA tournaments, and Nate Oates, who might have one of the best teams in the country that nobody's talking about in Alabama as far as hoops are concerned, and did have a team that you could make an argument for at UCF competing for a national title a couple of years ago when he had Scott Frost as his coach and Josh Heupel 28-8 so far at UCF. So he's the new athletic director, and that is a good start. But it was funny, as we just talked to Adam Rittenberg, who said from ESPN, who said he was talking with coaches, and that when Tennessee hired Danny White, that they did it right, and that one coach told him, quote, now it's going to be a real coaching search. So you know what? Strap on your shoes for a real coaching search. Forget about Kevin Steele being the long-term head coach. That's not going to happen. Forget about people with UT ties for sure being the coach. That's probably not going to happen. Neither Scott Frost nor Josh Heupel, the two coaches he hired at UCF, had prior UCF ties. Both high-level offensive coordinators. So we'll see where it goes from there. One thing, though, and this is why I thought today's hire was such a big deal, is that in life there's a certain way of doing things. Now, I'm not a huge believer in saying, hey, we're going to do this because this is how we've always done it. But I do think for a lot of things there's always an industry standard. You know, you hire the GM, and then you hire the coach, and then you draft the players, and you... When Floyd left the Titans, for example, there was a lot of who's in charge around here going on. Jeff Fisher ran the operation, then they brought in Mike Reinfeldt, then he brought in Rustin Webster, then he became the president, then he got fired and Rustin Webster was in charge, and then Ken Whisenhunt got hired, and it was like Whisenhunt was calling the shots, and then Steve Underwood came back, and then it was like, well, okay, well, Webster's calling the shots now, and then he gets fired, and in comes Mularkey. It's like, who is in charge around here? This is so dysfunctional. And then Steve Underwood hired John Robinson, and Steve Underwood said, John's in charge. And ever since then, the Titans have been okay. That doesn't mean John's done everything right, but ever since then, John's been okay. And the reason I bring this up is because the way Tennessee's been doing things is not really the way they're supposed to be done. Now, the hiring of Butch Jones was the way that you are supposed to hire a coach. Guy's good at Central Michigan, guy's good at Cincinnati, you hire him at Tennessee. Doesn't mean it's going to work, but that's what you do. But the hiring of Fulmer, the hiring of Pruitt, the reneging on Schiano, even the hiring of Curry, that's not necessarily how you do it, where there's this, you know, campaign going on between David Blackburn, Philip Fulmer, and a mystery candidate, and then it ends up being the mystery candidate. That's not normally how athletic director searches work. Usually athletic director searches aren't that big of a deal. At Vanderbilt, which is not, if you've listened to this show, as far as football and sports is concerned, Vanderbilt is not considered to be a well-run football organization. And it stems mainly from their lack of desire in putting resources towards football, more so than it is about the actual ability to care about football or functionally run a program. But Paul Feinbaum was on, and I thought Paul Feinbaum on Darren Donick and Chase made a great point, which is when you compare the two programs right now, Tennessee and Vanderbilt, I'd be worried about the lack of a gap between the two. Take a listen.
How many times have we heard Tennessee football is coming back under Derek Dooley, Butch Jones almost got there, and we thought for about a millisecond Jeremy Pruitt. And the problem is, instead of moving forward over these last 10 years, Tennessee is right now sitting there a hair ahead of Vanderbilt. You look at the records. I mean, I'm not making that up. No. Tennessee, in the last 10 years, these two are at the bottom. And you know, what are you selling? And I for those who don't know, and I went to the school. I'm not some Auburn graduate taking pot shots. I mean, I went to the University of Tennessee. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. So I have a familiarity with this university, and I remember when I was a student there a million years ago. I was proud of it. I'm proud of my degree to this day, but I'm embarrassed about the current state of affairs. And you know, you just have to try to build, and you can't be knocked down by the negativity. And there will be a lot of negativity connected to this program because it is a laughingstock right now.
Vanderbilt should never compete with Tennessee. Vanderbilt, as much as they say, you know, we want to be competitive in athletics, we want to be competitive in this, we want to stand up for that, Vanderbilt really doesn't ever prove it. And yet, look at the functionality of their athletic department and their coaching search. Vanderbilt fired a coach who probably had earned the right to be fired. Now, I was against firing Derek Mason simply because I just felt like the mess that the 2020 team had was all about all the guys who transferred because of COVID, all the guys who opted out because of COVID, and also they were playing a freshman quarterback. They had no spring ball. They had a new offensive coordinator. No coach is going to be able to win that way. But they gave Derek enough chances. They fired Derek Mason. And when they fired Derek Mason, it was very classy on both ends. Vanderbilt said nice things about Mason. Mason said nice things about Vanderbilt. And he packed up and he left. Then the season ended, and Vanderbilt, with their athletic director, who is a former alum but has worked their way up the ranks, and again, I'm not convinced Candace Story Lee is going to be a great athletic director at Vanderbilt, but she went out and conducted a coaching search, and she hired the number one target she had. They wanted Clark Lee the whole time. Played at Vandy. He was a coordinator of a successful program. It was a program that, you know, holds their nose up against others. Notre Dame. Oh, you're certainly not on our level. We're Notre Dame. Vanderbilt likes that. And then they allowed him to build a team. They allowed him to build a program. Look at the coaching staff he just hired. He's hiring guys from Power 5 schools to go coach at Vanderbilt. He hired a guy, Barton Simmons, from 24/7 to basically run the personnel, the recruiting angle of Vandy. I never thought Vanderbilt would make a commitment like that. So even though Vanderbilt doesn't have a stadium to compete with Tennessee, Vanderbilt doesn't have the program to compete with Tennessee, they don't have the training facilities to compete with Tennessee, they don't have the history to compete with Tennessee, they don't have the fan interest to compete with Tennessee, they don't have the ability to get on national television like Tennessee, they're more competent in how they went about their business. And that's why the gap between the two is not very far. That's why it's not wide. And I would just say, Feinbaum just said it for you right there. And Danny White is a step in the right direction, sure. You know, this is the kind of hire you have to make. Just like when you're at Vanderbilt and you're looking for a new coach, a former player who's a top coordinator at a playoff school is exactly the kind of guy that you need to try to hire. But I would just be concerned if I was a Vols fan, because everybody's going to be excited today about the Danny White hire. And in a couple of weeks, Danny White's probably going to hire his head coach. And as all of that goes on, everybody will look to this coach, and they'll know that 2021 is going to be bad. But are they going to be okay with it when 2022 and maybe even 2023 is bad? Because as Feinbaum also said on Darren Donegan Chase, they're not getting out of this hole anytime soon.
Well, fans don't want to hear this, but you really can't.
Oh, boy.
I mean, Tennessee fans just think, hey, bring a new AD in, let's go get a good coach, and it's all going to be better. It's not. The reality is this program is in trouble for a considerably long period of time, because this is not a case where you're going to battle the NCAA. You've already played guilty. You don't even know where this is going yet, and the chancellor got up there because she was so embarrassed and angered. And she said, yeah, we're guilty. Essentially, we're guilty of these charges. I have covered a million NCAA cases, as you guys have, and most schools will never admit it. You've got two basketball coaches in the SEC right now who are under the gun, and they are acting like, you know what? That doesn't exist. Prove it. You have video of me doing all these things? Well, in one case, they have audio, but that's beside the point. And it was perhaps the most astonishing thing at the press conference. I mean, you want to cheer for the chancellor and go, hey, bravo, you're telling the truth. But if you're a fan, you're saying to yourself, you just set our program back about two or three more years, and it's already in a dumpster.
So it's going to take some time. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. How many years do you think that it would take for Tennessee to get good? If they did everything right, if Danny White is the right hire athletic director and whom he hires at football coach is the right hire there, how long do you think it would take? 615-737-1025. I'll tell you how long I think it would take, and we'll do that coming up next. Stillman & Company right now. We are live from the wholesaling studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Be sure, in 1 hour, starting at 4 o'clock, we're going to have the Titans off-season preview show. Teron Davenport and I will break down the Titans. We'll break down free agency. We'll break down the draft, the coordinator search, and much, much more. So that's coming up tonight from 4 to 6 for the off-season preview show. And the off-season preview show brought to you by Corner Pub, Farm Bureau Health Plans, your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers, and by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Randy Boyd is a very successful businessman. Donnie Plowman seems to be, she's not a nutty professor despite her academic background, but you look at some of the clowns that Tennessee's had in these positions in the past, you can understand why it's in the situation it is now. Philip Fulmer never should have been hired as athletic director, and he's the one that hired Jeremy Pruitt. Jeremy Pruitt should have never been hired as coach, but those are only the most recent examples. But you can go further back, and there are all kinds of examples.
That was John Adams, Knoxville News Sentinel, on our show, and a texter texts into the text line, which is driven by Wilson County Hyundai. Scott says the real problem with Tennessee is not the coaches that were hired. The coaches hired were the result of the true problem. The leadership at the top has been the problem all along, and the Schiano fiasco was a perfect example. With true leadership, a group of fans does not have that kind of power. That comes from Scott, and I would echo that sentiment. And you do wonder if the ability of Dondi Plowman and Randy Boyd to basically axe Philip Fulmer, axe Jeremy Pruitt, and within 3 days turn around and find an athletic director who, as Adam Rittenberg from ESPN, when he came on, said, hey, that makes some sense. That seems like a good hire. And guess what? Sounds like they're going to get out of his way and let the guy who's hired Scott Frost, ended up being coach of the year at UCF, Josh Heupel, 28-8 at UCF, Bobby Hurley and Nate Oates and Lance Leipold at Buffalo. Maybe they're going to get out of his way, and they're going to let him hire a coach, and then they're going to let him develop a coach. That seems like the right way to go. And I do wonder this, though. We all know 2021 is going to be bad for the Vols. Henry Toa transferred yesterday. Wanye Morris transferred last week. Eric Gray entered the portal. Jameer Johnson entered the portal. Crouch, the linebacker, entered the portal. I mean, they got their whole team entering the portal. And what's crazy is we're now seeing the transfer portal world of college football, which is all of a sudden you have just a dumpster fire on your hands and everybody leaves. Ohio State didn't have the same problem in 2011. Vandy, for example, didn't have the same problem in 2010 because you couldn't just leave. So Jordan Matthews didn't just go into the transfer portal, and all those players at Ohio State who a year later, like Braxton Miller, who a year later were undefeated with Urban Meyer's cut, they didn't enter the transfer portal. It's different. 2021 is going to be bad. Whether Kevin Steele's the coach, whether Jared Stillman is the coach, or whether Luke Fickell is the coach, it's going to be a bad year. 2022 is probably going to be a bad year. Now, Jeremy Pruitt went 8-4 in his second year, and if he hadn't screwed up Georgia State and he hadn't screwed up BYU, you're looking at maybe a 10-win season for the Vols last year. Probably would have saved Jeremy Pruitt this year. But then he had a 3-win season, And in a pandemic year, the progress wasn't enough and the fans wanted him gone. And whether or not that's why he was actually fired, that's neither here nor there. But it's at least something. And it's something that Tennessee fans probably need to take note of. And just know that this is going to take a while. Butch Jones set everything up for 2016. That was the year that the Vols were supposed to be good. And in the third year, the second year was where it looked like the Vols were turning the corner, just like in the second year under Pruitt, it looked like the Vols were turning the corner. They won their final four games with Butch's coach. They smacked Iowa, I believe, in the Tax Slayer Bowl. And you thought, okay, this Vol program's going to be pretty good. 2015, they were a little ahead of schedule. They lost to Florida that year. They lost to Oklahoma that year in just gut-wrenching fashion. But they looked like they were kind of on the rise. Then 2016 was supposed to be the year. And they beat Florida. And they beat Georgia. And you thought this was the year. And they were in the top 10 in October. They took on A&M on the road. They turned the ball over seven times on the road in College Station, and they lost in overtime. And after the game, Butch Jones was sitting there telling everybody, you know, to turn the ball over that many times and win the game against a top 10 team in A&M, that's pretty impressive. And everybody's like, oh, Butch, if you just didn't turn the ball over seven times, you would have won the game. And then Jalen Hurd had all of his drama, and Alvin Kamara becomes the running back, and somehow they lose to a bad South Carolina team on Halloween 2016. I remember it like it was yesterday. The Cleveland Indians took a 3-1 lead on the Cubs, and the Vols were falling apart in front of our own eyes. And they still had a shot for the Sugar Bowl, and they lost to Vandy. And so that was year four, the year that everything set up for. Now it's starting to fall apart. Alvin Kamara goes to the NFL. Derek Barnett goes to the NFL. Joshua Dobbs goes to the NFL. And in 2017, they were awful, and Butch got fired. So you gave Butch 4 years to really prove what he was or wasn't. You gave Pruitt three. Now, again, the depth of the recruiting violations, which nobody knows, is going to affect how long it takes the Vols to get back. Because if the recruiting violations are really bad, and we're talking bowl bans and scholarships, and it's almost like you're going to be starting a new football program over. And it's not going to be fair to judge any coach on the first 3 years of that. But if I told you that the Vols would be good in 2027 or 2026, 5 years from now, that the Vols would be good in 2026, would you be willing to live with it? Would you be able to live with 2026? It's easy to say today, hey, it's going to take some time. But can you do 2026? Texter says, Smokey is thinking about entering the portal. I can't disagree with that. One texter says, 3 to 6 years for the Vols in terms of them getting ready to get back and to become that kind of program. 3 to 6 years? If it's 6 years and the Vols are back, and I would consider the Vols back, the benchmark for me of the Vols being back is an SEC championship game appearance. 2026? Can you live with that? Can you live with that in 2024? They got to wait till 2026? We'll see. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, there is a development in the NFL. And if it happens, it is a bad look for Mike Vrabel. We'll get to that coming up next. TriStar Moving, they deliver this show, and they can deliver for you just like they delivered for me. I hate moving just as much as anybody else. In fact, I hate moving as much as you can hate it. But not when I use my friends at TriStar Moving. They took great care of me with five-star service. That's why their motto is TriStar Moving with five-star service. Everything was taken care of, covering the floors, banisters, railings, front door thresholds, the door itself, wrapping and protecting all of the furniture and putting the TVs in protective boxes. Not a scratch at either house. They even have a storage, state-of-the-art storage facility for you if you need it. They do it all. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, are true Nashvillians, and they care about helping the individuals in this community as much as possible. So if you're about to make the move, be like me and be like my friends who have asked me, is this legit? And I'm like, yes. Give TriStar Moving a call, 615-640-1219, or visit the website at nashvillemoving.org/radio. They'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's nashvillemoving.org/radio. TriStar Moving, five-star service, the official movers of Stillman & Company, my official movers. Be sure to give them a try. That's TriStar Moving.
Yeah, Mike, back on the defensive coordinator thing, you said during the season you didn't think that that was having an impact on defensive struggles. You still feel that way after the season's over? Do you think there's any benefit to having someone who's, I guess, quote-unquote, the head coach of that defense?
Yeah, you know, I think that this thing kind of took a life of its own, Joe, and I guess that it was really important. But, Shane led the meetings. Shane led the walkthroughs. Shane called the defense, and again, I think we get caught up too much in titles, and I guess I apologize because clearly didn't think it would take on a life of its own, and we'll coach better, we'll play better, but those are things that we have to do in all three phases. There were times that it looked like we put all three phases together, played really well, and then there were stints where we didn't do that. And, we're going to evaluate the roster and the coaching staff and the plays that we run and the scheme that we have and everything across the board, because we ultimately didn't win a championship.
That was Mike Vrabel. And if Shane Bowen ran the meetings and if Shane Bowen ran practice and if Shane ran the defense and Shane called the plays, then no offense, but Shane sucked in 2020. And I felt like that was a little disconcerting, or maybe a little beneath Mike Vrabel, the way he just chucked Shane Bowen under the bus after spending an entire offseason last year not confirming that Shane was going to be the one in charge, spending the entire season where it took you until like late October until you got Vrabel to tell you who was calling the plays. And then it took you until after the season for Vrabel to tell you who was in charge of the defense. Oh, and by the way, this horrible defense, no, that was not me who was in charge. In case there's any ambiguity to make you think that I'm in charge, no, there is not. Shane was in charge. Sorry that everybody gets caught up in titles, but no. Shane's in charge, not me. Blame him. Because Shane did stink. And I saw something today. Ian Rappaport just reported it. Now, Jason LaCanfora had this weekend, and we all know he is not always 100% accurate with his reporting. But Ian Rappaport just tweeted out, quote, "The Falcons staff is taking shape. Under Coach Arthur Smith, Atlanta is expected to hire veteran defensive coordinator Dean Pease out of retirement, sources say, and they are working towards hiring Dave Ragone of the Bears as their new offensive coordinator." By the way, Dave Ragone, former Louisville Cardinal, was on the staff here. So whatever. Forget Dave Ragone. Couldn't care about him. Dean Pease looks like, according to Ian Rappaport, looks like Dean Pease is going to Atlanta to work with Arthur Smith. So Atlanta next year is going to have Arthur Smith calling the plays on offense, and it looks like Dean Pease calling the plays on defense. Now, this time a year ago, in fact, I think it was 1 year ago yesterday, Dean Pease announced his retirement from the NFL. Now, this is not the first time Dean Pease announced his retirement from the NFL, because he announced his retirement after the Ravens got eliminated in 2017 and said he was retiring, and 2 weeks later is the defensive coordinator for Mike Vrabel. We all liked Dean Pease when Dean Pease was here, because even though we knew the defense lacked talent, we figured he was making chicken salad, and he was making chicken salad. Vrabel lets him retire. Hey, the man's got to live. I understand that. No knock against him. But then it came out this year. Remember it came out, Gentry Estes wrote about it in the Tennessean, that Dean Pease said that he missed the game. Now, he had plans his whole life to go out and travel, and when a global pandemic that you don't have expected hits, you don't get to do the things you were wanting to do. but Dean missed it. And I said then and there, bring him in now. Dean, you're back. Here's your office. Here you go. And Dean kind of chipped back at that, went on the radio on another station and said, you know, oh, the Titans are doing fine. They'll be okay. I love Dean Pease. But if Dean is willing to take the job with the Atlanta Falcons to be their defensive coordinator, it can only mean one of two things. And both are a bad reflection of Mike Vrabel. The first thing would be that Dean Pease didn't want to be here. That Dean did 2 years, he retired, he didn't like it for whatever reason. Dean didn't want to be here anymore and said, you know what, this isn't for me, I'm out. I know we just got to the AFC title game, but enough is enough for me. I can't work here anymore. I don't want to work here anymore. See ya. That's the first possibility, that Dean didn't want to come back. The only other possibility is that Dean was not wanted here by Mike Vrabel. Dean says he wants to get back into the game. Dean tells people, hey, I'd like to come back. Mike says, ah, Dean, I love you, but I got, you know, Shane's doing a great job here, so there's no need for you. And if there's no need for you, then go on and go to Atlanta. When two people break up, there's only one of two people who can be at fault. Every now and then we see a mutual breakup. Like, you know what? She wasn't right for me. I wasn't right for her. But most of the time, it's either she broke up with me or I dumped her. It's one or the other. And in this case, it's the same. The Titans did not have a defensive coordinator in 2020. The Titans' defense under Dean Pease in the last year, and we can all agree that the Titans' defense lacked talent in 2018 and in 2019. In fact, I would argue the Titans' defense has been a mess ever since Mike Mularkey took over as coach, even before that, but the team wasn't competitive. It was a mess when Mularkey was coach, and Dick LeBeau, another legendary defensive coach, Dick LeBeau was making chicken salad with that defense. But they were better under Dick LeBeau, and they had better players under Dick LeBeau than they ever had under Dean Pease. He comes in, Derek Morgan and Brian Arakpo, as two outside pass rushers, can't run anymore. They both end up retiring right out of the league. So Vrabel either doesn't think he needs Dean, or Dean doesn't want to work for Vrabel. In 2019, the Titans had the 21st ranked defense in the NFL, which is bad. You never want to be 21st. But remember what Dean was so good at, the bend and not break? 21st in total defense, which is yards allowed. 12th in points allowed. They shut you down. You got inside the red zone? Ravens in the playoffs, 1 of 4. Patriots in the playoffs, 2 goal line stops. Everybody except Patrick Mahomes, the Titans locked them down when they got to the red zone. 12th in the league in points allowed. This past year, without Dean, 28th in total defense, so truly one of the worst defenses in the NFL. 24th in points allowed. So they weren't stopping anybody when they got inside the red zone. When they played Baltimore in this playoffs, and they needed to stop them in the red zone, and they needed to keep Baltimore to field goals, they gave up a touchdown to Lamar Jackson. They gave up a field goal. They gave up a touchdown to J.K. Dobbins. When they had to stop Lamar Jackson on the second and shorts and third and shorts and fourth and shorts, they stopped him 2 years ago. They didn't stop him this year. This defense needs Dean Pease. And there are a lot of people who think that Mike Vrabel is too arrogant and Mike Vrabel thinks too highly of himself, that he thinks he can do this job without Dean Pease. And so far, I've seen the results with Dean, and I've seen the results without Dean. The Titans have got to get their heads out of their rear ends when it comes to their defense. When Logan Ryan hit free agency this time last year, after the Kansas City game, and we were looking forward to, okay, What can they do to get back to the AFC title game? What can they do to build their team better? We looked at the free agents. Well, they got to re-sign Henry. They got to re-sign Tannehill. They got to re-sign Logan. They got to re-sign Jack Conklin, the four premium free agents they had last year. And we knew they weren't going to be able to re-sign all of them. We thought Logan was going to be the odd man out because we thought Logan Ryan was going to go get $13 million a year as a corner in the NFL because he had a great year. Yes, Pro Football Focus says he can't run with the fastest wide receivers in the league. Who cares? Logan got interceptions. Logan made tackles. Logan got sacks. Logan was involved in everything the Titans defense did. The second Logan walked out the door, you could feel his departure. By the way, Logan didn't sign for $13 million. He didn't sign for 10. He didn't sign for 8. He didn't sign for 7. He didn't sign for 5. He signed for no money this year with the New York Giants on a 1-year prove-it deal. And prove it he did. 3 years, $30 million. But Mike Vrabel and John Robinson, they don't need Logan Ryan. And now Dean Pease is coming out of retirement for the second time. He's going to work with Arthur Smith. And either Dean didn't want to be here because maybe he doesn't want to work for Vrabel, or Vrabel didn't want him here because he thinks he can do just fine without him. And I'm here to tell you that Mike Vrabel has burned up any currency that he has with his ability to fix the defense between how terrible they were this year, how little they held up in the playoff game, how bad Jadeveon Clowney was, his guy, when they brought him in, and how unbelievably terrible it feels like the Titans have gone about expressing who's in charge on the defense. Guys got worse on the defense. Evans got worse. Byard got worse. They were worse this year on defense. And now Dean Pease is going to go to Atlanta? I mean, I like Arthur, and I think Arthur is a good coach, and I think that there's a chance that the Falcons could be okay down the road with Arthur as coach, but there's no doubt in my mind that the Atlanta Falcons, who were 4-12 last year, and who actually have a worse defense than the Titans finished 28th in total defense, the Falcons finished 29th. There's no doubt in my mind the Titans are a better team than the Falcons. If Dean wants to get back in there to win the Super Bowl, Dean's coming back here. So either Dean didn't want to work for Vrabel or Vrabel didn't want Dean, and I have a problem with either if that's the case. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Here's the question for the callers and the texters. And again, our Titans season preview show is coming up at 4 o'clock. But here's the question. As far as this news, Dean Pease and Ian Rappaport is saying, sources say Dean Pease going to Atlanta to be the coordinator. What's that tell you about Mike Vrabel? And how concerned are you when you hear that? 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company. We're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
You know, Mike Vrabel, he holds every player on that roster accountable. And there's a lot of great leadership lessons I learned from Mike. He was very flexible with things we did. I'll miss that relationship a lot. He had a huge impact on my career. But yeah, I mean, But I'm not Mike Vrabel. You know, the same thing we'll tell our players. You got to be yourself.
That was Arthur Smith saying, hey, Mike was great. I love Mike. I'm not Mike, though. Got to be yourself. And for some reason, according to Ian Rappaport, Dean Pease is going back to Atlanta to work with Arthur, or to work as Arthur Smith's defensive coordinator. And I am just beside myself at why Dean Pease is not coming back to be the Titans' defensive coordinator. Because again, under Dean, they were 12th in scoring defense. Without Dean, 24th. With Dean, 21st in total defense. Without Dean, 28th. Down around the bottom of the league without Dean Pease. And at some point, Vrabel and Robinson, they're going to have to learn hey, you think you can do it without Dean. You think you can do it without Logan Ryan. You think you can do it without some of these guys. Let's get on the football field and see. Because Lamar Jackson, when they played him the first time in the playoffs, Logan had a great game, and Lamar didn't break any big runs off. This ragtag, crap-bum defense, Lamar runs for 136 yards. The one thing that cannot happen, Lamar does. So Chris in Nashville texts the text line and said, and this is something that does worry me now. Chris in Nashville texts the text line, Vrabel might suck to work with. I mean, our local media doesn't enjoy working with him. Vrabel can probably be pretty demanding, I would guess. I always thought Mike and Dean really got along. And I always felt like Dean helped Mike, that Dean's experience helped Mike as a head coach with his inexperience. But maybe Dean doesn't want to come back here because Mike's hard to work with. Again, either Mike didn't want Dean or Dean didn't want Mike. It's as simple as that. And remember what Corey Curtis said about Vrabel? Maybe some people don't like working with Mike Vrabel.
Emily and I texted about it earlier today. I'm about done with Mike Vrabel's attitude. I just am. What were your takeaways from the head coach's comments today? We'll start with him, and then we'll go to the players.
You can't just say that and then move on.
Yeah, go ahead and ask me a
elaborate.
Question.
What?
Ask me. I look, every time a question is asked, he acts like it's stupid, horrible, dumb, and he's really dismissive of all of them, like we're all beneath him. Look, he hasn't won a Super Bowl. He hasn't been to a Super Bowl. If you're going to act that way, win some games, all right? Win some more games. Because
okay.
I've got no time for it anymore. I'm done. I'm checked out. If you want respect, you got to show some respect. And I don't feel like Mike Vrabel's giving anybody any kind of respect whatsoever. I'm not asking for tears. I'm not asking for pity. I'm just saying I'm done with press conferences that are a waste of my time. That's what I'm done with.
So I personally don't feel that way about Vrabel. Corey came on the show and kind of said, you know, I should have talked to Vrabel before I said that. But maybe that's the case. Apparently, John Glennon said on Twitter, my understanding is the Titans Vrabel did reach out to Pease to see if he wanted to come out of retirement and return to the Titans. Pease made the choice to go to Atlanta. May well be bringing his son, Matt, a former Titans quality control assistant, with him. Let Dean bring the whole family. I don't care. And again, if Vrabel is reaching out to Dean to see if Dean wants to come back, and Dean's like, nah, I'd rather go to that crap team in Atlanta. No offense to Arthur, but they suck. I'd rather go to that team in Atlanta. What's that tell you? That is concerning. It is. I like Vrabel. I do. If you've been around Vrabel outside of the football setting, he's funny. He's smart. He's a good guy. Everybody seems to have nice things to say about Mike Vrabel, but I think we can all agree that Vrabel can probably be a little demanding sometimes, which is fine. Who cares? That's what a coach is supposed to do. But why would Dean Pease not want to come back here? Why? I don't. You know, Dean said that when he got hired and his son was on the staff, and Dean was like, no, I asked Vrabel if that was okay. I didn't come so my son could be there. I didn't care then if that's why Dean was back, was so his son could be on there. I don't care. And I don't care if Dean's son, bring him back. Bring them all back. I got a whole bunch of defensive coaches that in 2020 couldn't get it figured out. So they can fire this guy and fire that guy, and I don't give a damn. Get rid of them. Get rid of Hazlitt. Get rid of the new secondary coach. Get rid of Bowen. I don't care. Get rid of them. They suck. They all sucked collectively. 28th in defense. 28th. You had an electric offense this year. You had almost two 1,000-yard receivers. You had a 2,000-yard running back. You had a quarterback who is the best quarterback season you've ever had in Tennessee. And you could not stop anybody this year. You couldn't stop the Ravens, and they can't even throw. And he's going to Atlanta? Oh, my. Lance is up next. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Lance.
Yeah, I think, you know, rather than it being about personal issues with Vrabel, I mean, you got to look at how terrible our secondary was compared to how it was when Dean was here. We signed Beasley and Clowney that should have given us a little pass rush and made the secondary not have to cover as long. It was absolutely abysmal. They did nothing for us. And I think there's just, like, really not a reason to think that this squad's going to look up next year as far as defense, and Dean Pease isn't going to fix it because we don't have the players.
Well, Dean Pease isn't going to fix it because Dean doesn't want to come.
Well, yeah, but I don't think it's necessarily personal issues about Mike Vrabel. I mean,
you think he thinks he's got a better shot to have success as a coordinator in Atlanta than he does here? Four-win Atlanta. You think you're closer to the Super Bowl in Atlanta than you are here?
I mean, the man made the choice for reasons. I understand you guys point out, you know, he could not want to work for Mike Vrabel, but I just think there's, like, not any reason for this to think this squad will look up from based on what it was when Dean Pease was here. We can't make any splash signings this offseason because Clowney went so bad. Beasley went so bad.
The only difference on defense, Lance, and I appreciate your call, the only real difference on defense, personnel-wise, from 2019 to 2020, in my opinion, was Logan Ryan. Because Logan Ryan did legitimately, I mean, he was missed and they did not replace him. Yes, Logan was different. They replaced Casey with Simmons. And Simmons might have been the best defensive player on the Titans this year. It wasn't about personnel. Personnel is not why the Titans went from 12th in scoring defense, the stat that really matters, to 21st. It wasn't personnel. Look at Vrabel's 1 year as a coordinator with the Texans. They were awful. And I do think that Vrabel, I think Vrabel thinks he can do the defense, or that he can be the head coach and somebody else can do it. And maybe he reached out to Dean, but the fact that Dean didn't want to come back is a big problem. Why did Dean not want to come back? Will is up next. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Will.
Same kind of thing the last caller said. I don't know why it's automatically go with this. It's, you know, versus Vrabel thing. I mean, maybe it's a personnel thing. Maybe there are good opportunities defensively with Atlanta. Maybe it's he wants
Atlanta
to go,
has a worse defense than you do.
Well, maybe so, but personnel wise, maybe there are opportunities coming, and maybe
name two players on Atlanta's defense, Will.
Maybe so, but maybe it's this.
Will, can
maybe
you name two players on Atlanta's defense?
I'm not an Atlanta fan.
Nobody can name – Will, thank you for your call. Nobody can name two players. Nobody can name two players on Atlanta's defense because Atlanta's defense sucks. They suck. And that's why it makes no sense. Atlanta's not going to the Super Bowl. Atlanta stinks. It's not like it's a good team, right? It's not like Dean said, you know, I decided I'd come out of retirement for the Buffalo Bills because the Buffalo Bills are really freaking good. And so I get this really good defense, and I get a shot to win a Super Bowl. Like, it's no. No, what is the reasoning? Like, why? And the best part about it is Dean will never tell you why. Whatever it is, Dean will never say why he doesn't want to come back. But clearly, he doesn't want to come back. 615-737-1025. I don't even know why I'm giving out the phone number. TD is going to join us. The Titans off-season preview show starts next. We'll get into all of the everything is on the table about the Titans as we preview what the offseason will look like. Teron Davenport and I will get into that coming up next. Stillman and Company right here, delivered by TriStar Moving. Hey, guess what? The playoffs are my favorite time of the year to get on my official sportsbook app, the FanDuel Sportsbook app, and bet all the weekend's action. And if you've never tried FanDuel, the playoffs are the perfect time to give it a shot because right now new users will get an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on any team to win during the conference championship round this weekend. That's right, 25-1 odds, any team, any game this weekend. I love Brady, but I got to go with Green Bay. I think they'll get it done. Don't miss out on this exclusive offer. I've been betting football on FanDuel all year long. FanDuel is easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, and when you win with FanDuel, they'll pay you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. I absolutely love it. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use my promo code JGM so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code JGM. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on a designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.